Well, Jill, again, this is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2020. I thought I would explain a little bit about what's happening this year. We're going to be having the 1950 episode of the Jack Benny Show, followed by the Phil Harris Show from the same night of the same year. Now, it didn't follow directly behind Jack's. It did, but you had to switch channels. You had to go from CBS to NBC. But a lot of folks did that, and so you'll hear it the way a lot of folks would have heard it, with them flipping the dial over to NBC to catch the Phil Harris Show. Then after the Phil Harris Show, we will have jumped back 5 years to bring in the 1945 episodes of the Jack Benny Show. That the only thing missing on those shows is Dennis Day is still in the service, so he won't be back until midway through the season. But they do introduce some of the great bits that they keep doing for years and years. The bit that'll be brought up this time that'll be brand new is the operators, the phone operators, and so it'll be fun to hear them for the first time. The first show we're going to bring you tonight from 1950, Jack Benny, is The Stealing of the Maxwell. And this will be brought to us over on television a couple different times, once filmed and once live, I believe. And we'll be presenting one of those on Saturday. On Saturdays, we bring you the television show of the Jack Benny Show, and we talk about an episode, myself and a few of my guests. It's been going over really well. Folks seem to really like it, and so we bring the audio of that, but you can always catch the video as well on my YouTube channel, and we'll have a link to it and all of that. But you just might want to listen to it this week, in that it'll be the same episode you're hearing tonight, except you'll be able to see it. So thank you all, and enjoy.
Buck Benny, a two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1950-1951 season. Today's episode is about the Maxwell getting stolen. And I am currently in 2015, and this is September. So this is one of my first new introductions. I listened to the intro that I did before, and it was so based in time from 5 years ago that I thought I'd go ahead and record a new one, because it's a few things that I didn't mention that could be mentioned. Anyway, so for tonight's episode, great episode if you love to hear Dennis and Mel Blanc do some of their voices. In fact, Artie Arbach, who of course plays Mr. Kitzel, ends up doing a second part as well. So there's lots of voice work going on here. Do not fast forward the song. In the song done by the Sportsman, it'll have Dennis Day doing some voices in there and Mel Blanc doing some voices in there. So cool stuff all the way around.
65. The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Now Venus is a gorgeous girl, but life for her is rough. A statue simply cannot smoke a lucky puff by puff.
I drive a cab in my hometown. I know what people like. That milder, richer cigarette whose name is Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky. Be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky. Go lucky strike today.
Enjoy your cigarette. Enjoy truly fine tobacco that combines both perfect mildness and rich taste in one great cigarette, Lucky Strike. For only fine tobacco gives you both real mildness and rich taste. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So friends, be happy, go lucky. Try a carton of Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we had rehearsal. About noon, Jack, Phil, Dennis, and I walked across the street to the corner drugstore for some lunch.
Gee, the drugstore's crowded today.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't take too long.
Hey, Merv, you got a table for us?
No, but there'll be one empty in a minute. Would you mind waiting?
No, but bring a chair for the old man. He walked all the way across the street.
Stop being funny. For your information, Phil, every morning right after breakfast, I walk 5 miles all over Beverly Hills.
Why do you do that, Jack?
He's collecting rent.
That's only on the first of the month.
Hey, look, Jackson, as long as we have to wait, I want to buy some things at the drug counter. Will you hold a seat for me?
Okay.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Harris?
Look, I want a large tube of toothpaste, some aspirin, a bottle of mouthwash, and a box of bobby pins.
Yes, sir. What color is your wife's hair?
Blonde, but she buys her own.
Very good, Mr. Harris. Will there be anything else?
Yeah, now let me see. I better get some cough drops. I've had a tickling in my throat since last night.
Maybe it's a piece of cork. Now, what kind of cough drops do you want?
Oh, I don't care. Just give me a box of those that are made right here in L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah, it says so right on the box, Los Angeles.
That's lozenges.
Oh.
Your table is ready, Mr. Benny.
Okay, I'll get the others. Phil!
Right here, Jackson.
Dennis!
Oh, just a second, Mr. Benny. I'm weighing myself.
How much do you weigh, Dennis?
370 pounds.
370 pounds?
I invited Don to be my guest.
Well, what good is... Oh, never mind. Come on, kids. Let's get to the table. Hey, Marvin, we're in a hurry to get back to rehearsal, so give us quick service, please.
Yes, Mr. Benny. I'll take the orders myself.
Good. What'll you have, fellas?
I'll have a chicken sandwich on rye bread.
Yes, sir. You, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, I'll have a small glass of tomato juice and a slice of whole wheat toast.
Don... Son, is that all you're eating?
Yeah, Jack, I'm on a diet, and that's all I've had for 3 full days.
Dennis, where are you going?
When he's that hungry, I don't want to be close to him.
Oh, sit down.
Yes, sir.
What do you have, Mr. Day?
I'll have a cucumber split.
A cucumber split? What in the name of Duncan Hines is that?
Well, it's like a banana split, only you use a cucumber.
Dennis, ice cream on a cucumber? That must taste awful.
Oh, not if you peel it.
Well, his answer was all right. Maybe my question was silly. How he can eat that, I don't know. Yeah?
What do you have, Mr. Benny?
Let's see. I want to look at the sandwich list. Hamburger, cheeseburger, chicken burger, onion burger, turkey burger, chili burger, Max burger. Max burger? What's that?
That's a proprietor. Oh.
I don't know what to order.
Why don't you try a cucumber split?
Dennis, if I live to be 100, I'll never eat a thing like that. It sounds horrible.
If you haven't tried it, don't knock it.
Oh, keep quiet. See, I don't know what to eat. I just haven't any appetite. Yeah, I haven't felt like eating all day.
Don't take it personally, Jackson. They raised everybody's taxes today.
I know. Mervin, I'll have a bacon and tomato sandwich.
Yes, sir. What do you gentlemen have to drink?
Coffee for me.
I'll have a Coca-Cola.
Bring me 3 fingers of milk.
Phil, 3 fingers of milk?
I'm on the wagon, but I don't want to forget how to order.
Oh.
By the way, Jackson, Remley asked me to thank you for the raise you gave him.
That's all right, Phil. Anytime your music is improved, I appreciate it.
Why, Jack, what'd Frankie do?
He broke his arm and he can't play. What a nice guy.
How'd Frankie break his arm, Phil?
Well, we were having a little party at Bagby's house, and it was a warm night, so Frankie ran out and took a dive in the pool.
Oh, no water in the pool, eh?
No pool.
Well, no wonder he broke his arm.
He didn't do that till the third dive.
What?
He swam around the backyard like a mole.
Oh, fine.
Here's your food, gentlemen.
Thanks. Now, let's eat fast, kid, so we can get back to rehearsal.
Well, Jack, look who's walking over here.
Why, it's Mr. Kitzel.
Hello, Mr. Bien.
Sit down, Mr. Kitzel. Have some lunch with us.
No, thank you. I ate already. I had the blue plate special. Woo-hoo. A bargain.
You mean you didn't like it?
Who could like it? Such small portions they give you. 6 green beans, 2 potato chips, and a piece of steak. J. Edgar Hoover couldn't find it.
Well, that's too bad.
Too bad. If it wasn't for the dessert, your whole meal would be awful.
Oh, what'd you have for dessert?
A cucumber split.
Mr. Kitzel, you didn't... Well, maybe it's good. I don't know.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny. I got to run along now. I got to pick up my boy and take him to his scout meeting.
Oh, is your son a Boy Scout?
Is he a Boy Scout? You know, only 2 weeks ago he joined, and when I asked him, what did you learn, he rubbed together 2 sticks and burned down the whole house.
Burned down the house?
Uh-huh. When the fireman came, he helped them across the street.
No.
Uh-huh. And with his little knife, he carved, "Be prepared," in their fire hose.
Oh, Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
My. Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny.
So long, Mr. Kitzel. Well, fellas, we better get going, too. We got a lot of rehearsing to do.
Here's your check, gentlemen.
Oh, I'll take it, fellas. I think it's my turn.
No, Dennis, it's my turn.
No, Phil, it's my turn.
No, Don, it's Phil's turn. I keep track of these things. Now, come on, let's go. Dennis, what are you doing at the jukebox?
Well, one of my songs is on it, and I want to play it.
Well, go ahead and then come right to the studio.
Okay. Got a nickel?
No! Now, let's go, fellas.
There will be many other nights like this. And I'll another fall, another spring, but there will never be another you. There will be other lips that I may kiss, but they can they come true? can they come through if there will never, ever be another you?
Don. Don, have you got the scripts there?
Yes, Jack. Come on, Jack, I want to get home. Let's get the rehearsal started.
Phil, we can. Mary isn't here yet.
Is there anything wrong with her?
I don't know. I hope she's feeling all right.
How'd she look this morning when you collected her rent?
She was all right. She was a little concerned about the controls going off, but then I don't blame her, you know. I'm going to call her up and see what's keeping her.
Oh, Mabel, what is it, Geisel? Mr. Benny's loin is flicking.
Yeah, I wonder what Born to be Bad wants now.
I'll plug in and find out. Yes, Mr. Benny. Yes, sir, I'll see if she's home. He wants I should get him Mary Livingston. I'll try her number.
Say, Geisel, you think there's a romance between Mr. Benny and Miss Livingston?
Could be. On the first program of the season, I saw Mary wearing an orchid he gave her.
Well, what makes you so sure Mr. Benny gave it to her?
It's the same one he let me wear on New Year's. He keeps it in a deep freeze.
Come to think of it, Gertrude, there could be something between Jack and Mary, because Thursday night when I was at the Mocambo, I saw them there together.
Gee, you were at the Mocambo?
Yeah.
Who took you?
Nobody. I went stag.
Well, you're not ahead of me. I went to the Mocambo once, too, and with Jack. Jack Benny.
Then you didn't go stag?
No, I went Dutch. Say, you know, Mabel, you should see the change that's come over him since he came back from Europe. He's so continental. Now when he sees you, he bends from the waist and kisses your hand.
My, how romantic.
Yeah. But you gotta straighten him up faster. He stays that way all the time.
I think you're kidding.
No, it happened the night we went to the Mocambo.
And he was bent over all evening? How could you dance with him?
It was awful. When the music started, he came at me like a USC fullback.
If you hadn't played for Notre Dame, you'd have been in trouble.
Yeah.
Operator, operator.
I'm sorry, Mr. B, but Miss Livingston's line doesn't answer.
Oh, well, never mind. I'll call her later. Gee, fellas, Mary's phone doesn't answer. I wonder where she is.
Maybe she was drafted.
Oh, be quiet!
Look, fellas, let's rehearse until... Come in!
Mr. Benny, you want it on the phone in the hall.
Well, excuse me, fellas, maybe that's Mary. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Hello, Rochester. What is it?
Brace yourself, boss. I've got news for you.
What is it, Rochester? What is it?
Your car's been stolen.
My car stolen? This is awful.
There's two schools of thought on that.
Rochester, I'm in no mood for jokes. Is my car really stolen?
Yes, boss. It's gone.
Oh, this is terrible. Just yesterday, I put in 5 gallons of gas. Ethel yet. Oh, my goodness.
What are you going to do, boss?
Well, don't worry, Rochester. I'll get my car back. The Beverly Hills police are on their toes.
They could be on their knees and catch that car.
Oh, Never mind. Just meet me at the police station. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, was that Mary, Jack?
No, Don, it was Rochester. What do you think happened, fella?
What?
My car was stolen.
Your car?
Yes.
Gee, and only yesterday you drove me home and made me put in 5 gallons of gas.
Then.
Ethel yet.
All right. Now, look, fellas, rehearsal is off. I got to get down to the police station.
Now, where's the quartet? Oh, sportsman, sportsman! Did you hear the news? Someone stole Mr. Benny's car.
Someone stole Jack Benny's car and drove it right away. It makes us feel so very sad, we just can't help but say, be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
People call me Madman Munch, with them I can't agree. The guy who stole Jack Benny's car is crazier than me.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky, strike today.
My name is Ronald Coleman, and I live next door to Jack. I hope the man who stole that can will never bring it back.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
My name is Mr. Cassidy, to you I'm known as Hoppy. My horse can't understand who'd steal that broken down jalopy.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
My name is Woody Woodpecker, I laughed the whole day through, and since they stole Jack Benny's car, I've got a reason to.
Well, here it is, Beverly Hills Police Station. What a classy place. Look at that sign over the door. Through these portals pass the toughest policemen in the world. Uniforms by Adrian. Well, I'd better go in. I wonder where I... Oh, there's a girl at that desk. I better ask her. Oh, miss?
Yes?
I'd like to report a stolen car.
Do you have an appointment?
No, I just want to report a stolen car.
Well, we're not very busy today. Perhaps we can work you in.
Well, good.
You may go to the office on the right and see Sergeant Vandermeer.
Well, thank you. Sergeant Vandermeer?
Yes?
I'd like to report that my car was stolen.
Do you live in Beverly Hills?
Yes, I do.
What kind of a Cadillac was it?
Well, it isn't a Cadillac.
A Lincoln?
Well...
Come, mister, what kind of car is it?
It's a Maxwell.
From what country?
No, you see, it was made in this country. That is, well, they don't make them anymore, although the factory is still in existence. They make pencil sharpeners. They had some cranks left over, so it was easy to convert.
I see. Now, tell me, from where was your car stolen?
Well...
Boss!
Oh, hello, Rochester.
The girl at the desk told me you were in here.
Oh, Sergeant, this is my butler, Rochester Van Jones. He discovered the theft.
Oh, the butler, eh? Sit down, Mr. Van Jones.
Huh?
Now recount in your own words the events of the entire day.
Well...
Don't be nervous, Rochester. I'll stand behind you.
Well, Mr. Benny left the house at 10 o'clock. He called me out of my room and said... Rochester, I'll be gone all day, so I want you to clean the kitchen, beat the rugs, wash the windows, polish the stove, wax the floors, and press my clothes.
That's right. I remember telling him to do all those things, and I left at 10 o'clock.
Now, Rochester, where were you at 10:15?
Back in my room, asleep.
Asleep, Rochester?
Quiet, Mr. Benny. Tell me, Rochester, when did you first discover that the car was stolen?
I heard the motor as it went out the driveway.
Oh, I see. You were sleeping, but you just happened to wake up in time to hear the motor.
I didn't just happen to wake up. It threw me out of bed.
Now, look here.
Just a minute, Sergeant. You're suspecting the wrong man.
Yes. Yes, I guess I am. It always happens. For 20 years, I've been listening to mystery programs on the radio, and it's always the butler. Always the butler. They drive you nuts. Why do I keep listening to them? Why? I ask. Why?
Sergeant, control yourself.
Yes, I must control myself. Now, where were we? Oh, yes, your car was stolen. Have it here on the report. Make Maxwell.
That's right.
Will you give me a description, please?
Well, it has a black body with blue fenders. That is, two of them are blue, and one is green, you see?
What about the fourth one?
Well, the color of that one changes. It's made out of lizard skin.
Any other identification?
Well, there's a foxtail hanging rather casually over the, you know, from the radiator cap. And now let me see what else. Oh, yes, the top goes up and down, you see?
Oh, a convertible.
No, the top just goes up and down.
That's right. You see, we have no windshield to fasten it to, and it's uncomfortable wearing that chin strap, you know?
We better not waste any more time, Mr. Benny. Now, if you just follow me, we'll go down to the radio room and report the theft to our prowl cars. Just follow me.
Come on, Rochester. Hey, look at those pictures on the wall. Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd. Oh, look, there's a picture of my agent. Yeah, I hope I get my car back.
Don't worry, Mr. Benny. We'll not only locate your car, but we'll apprehend the criminal. You see, we'll take fingerprints off the steering wheel.
Well, maybe you ought to get the fingerprints off the door handle.
Why?
We haven't got a steering wheel.
That's ridiculous. What do you do when you get to a corner? How do you make a turn?
We jump out and kick the front wheel.
Rochester.
When we get the car in a circle, we go crazy.
Rochester, please.
Well, here's the radio room. Oh, before we go in, Mr. Benny, have you thought of a reward?
Well, no. If I just get my car back, it'll be enough.
Very well. This way.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Go to 700 North Rexford. See the man about a disturbance. This is Johnson. That is all.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Go to the corner of Doheny and Wiltshire, code 62. Carey speaking, that is all.
Now, Mr. Benny, which one of our announcers would you prefer to broadcast the information about your missing car? Lieutenant Johnson or Sergeant Carey?
What's the difference?
Sergeant Carey has a higher hooper. More of our prowl cars listen to him.
Really popular, eh?
Popular? CBS wants to star him in a program called People Are Crooked.
Well, what do you know? Sergeant, tell him to send out the alarm about my car.
Certainly. Here, Carey, add this one to your list.
Yes, sir. Calling all cars, calling all cars. Keep a lookout for these stolen vehicles. Hudson, license number WY7469. Cadillac, DE3327. Maxwell, PU8054.
Gee, I hope they find it soon.
That is all. Good night, Irene.
Gosh, if I don't get my car back, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Dennis, what are you doing here?
Well, I had to see you, Mr. Benny. Are you sure somebody stole your car?
Of course I'm sure. Why?
Well, when I left the studio, I went home.
Uh-huh.
And when I went into the house, I said, "Hello, Mother, somebody stole Mr. Benny's car." And then it happened.
What happened?
She filled me full of black coffee, put an ice bag on my head, and called Alcoholics Anonymous.
Alcoholics Anonymous?
I go to my first meeting next Tuesday.
What?
I could go on Thursdays, but I'd rather go with Phil.
Well, you can tell your mother...
Car 28 calling in. Car 28 calling in.
This may be it, Mr. Benny. This report may concern your car.
Oh, good.
Okay, car 28, come in.
We We found the Maxwell, license number PU8054.
That's it.
The car was found at 360 North Camden Drive.
That's my house.
They brought it back.
Rochester, did you hear that? They brought it back. They brought it back.
This is the third time.
Yeah.
Quiet, please. Tell me, Car 28, did you apprehend the criminal?
Only the one that was limping. The other one got away.
You say one of them was limping? Did you shoot him?
No, his toe was broken from kicking the front wheel.
Well, how do you like that? They must have gone by way of Carthay Circle. Come on, Rochester, let's go home.
Jack, we'll be back in just a moment, but first...
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
In science and biology, in math and chemistry, there never was a formula like LSMFT.
Yes, Luckies get our loudest cheers on campus and on dates. With college gals and college guys, a lucky really race.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Yes, friends, be happy, go lucky. Enjoy your cigarette. For Luckies always give you perfect mildness. In fact, scientific tests confirmed by 3 independent consulting laboratories prove Lucky Strike is milder than any other principal brand. And together with mildness, you always get rich taste, too. All the deep-down smoking enjoyment that comes from truly fine tobacco. For LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So, friends, be happy. Go lucky. Try a carton of Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky. Be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Look, Rochester, the thieves did bring my car back. There it is in front of the house.
Yeah.
Gee, I hope they didn't damage it. Jump in, Rochester, see if it'll start.
Okay.
Listen to it, Rochester. Listen.
Yeah, boys, it's just as good as ever.
It certainly is. Good night, folks.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day and A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to our first podcast from the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show of the 1950-51 season, from exactly 60 years ago this year. We'll be sharing, we have the entire season available to us, which is fantastic, and it's just amazing with OTR, the way new episodes keep on appearing of shows. If we were to have done this on the 65th anniversary of the show, the 55th, 5 years ago, I'd have about four episodes to share for this season instead of the 40 that we now have available. So, pretty cool that we're able to bring you all these shows. Anyway, and I had a discussion on the Jack Benny podcast before this about Radio Spirits, who has released a lot of these shows, and you can listen to that podcast about what's going on with them. Anyway, I've been asked to discuss Phil Harris on this episode, and it seems appropriate with the first episode of the season. Phil and Jack Benny go back. It sounds like they knew each other before Phil started working for Jack in 1936. Phil tells it that he was originally going to be hired for the Burns and Allen show to be their music director and conductor and for their show. And then apparently they went with someone else in another direction. And so Phil was available. And so many things in George Burns' career and in Jack Benny's career, because they were such tight friends, they would talk to each other, you know, about business situations and about show business and the whole thing. And so it sounds like Jack got wind of the fact that Phil Harris wasn't going to be used over there. So he had apparently dinner or lunch or something. He went out to eat anyways, what Phil was saying, with Phil, and asked how things were going. And Phil said he was, that the deal with Burns and Allen sort of fell through or something. And he said, well, you're with me this season then. And, you know, Phil was just in the right place at the right time, which sounds as like it's true of so much of his career. He's a lot like his character in that he's just, and he described himself as being, you know, kind of happy-go-lucky like his character was, and things just kind of fell into place for him. So then, of course, he was on the Jack Benny show for the next 17 years, which he describes as some of the best 17 years of his whole life, and that he really enjoyed it, which is fantastic for him and great for Jack and great for us that he was on that show. Well, then in the mid-1940s, Fitch Bandwagon approached him to be on their show, and they'd used many conductors in the past for their show, but for him, they wanted him to do a radio show that would be a comedy show, and they wanted it to be more of a family comedy show, so they decided to use his whole family, and so Alice Faye and Phil put on this show, and it was very successful. It was within that first year, I believe, it was number 8 on the Nielsen list, and that's the highest it would ever place. And it placed in the top 20 for a while. And then within a few years, it didn't place up that high anymore. But to the OTR fans, this show is one of the most popular shows that there is for collecting and for listening to. Somehow it just really holds up where it sounds even modern by our standards. And so it just doesn't sound as dated as some shows do. I think it's definitely the Remley Phil Harris connection between Elliot Lewis and Phil Harris that really cements it home and really makes it seem, because you can see people, you know, buddies joking around today like they do back in their peak. So I think that's what makes this so enjoyable. And both Jack Benny and Phil Harris and Elliot Lewis just have this real strong admiration for each other that you hear in interviews that they give, that you just can feel on the shows, too. Phil mentioned before that, they based his character on him. You know, he was kind of a womanizer when he was first on the Jack Benny show, and so they took that to an extreme. And then he eventually married Alice, which is Alice Faye, and stayed with her for the rest of his life, which is great. anyway, he was a drinker. And so they made that into, blew that out of proportion for his character, which gave us a lot of enjoyment. But Jack did approach him when he started to drink more and said, you know, Phil, this is, it's funny, you know, to talk about this on the show, but when you drink this much in real life, it doesn't make it as funny anymore. And so he was concerned for Phil's health and well-being, and I think that really touched Phil, which is pretty cool. Where was that with Phil? Phil and Elliot and Alice Faye really made it where this show was wonderful and wonderfully successful, and we're delighted that we have so many of the episodes in such high quality of this series, and hopefully they continue to bring out new episodes of the future seasons that are still missing quite a few episodes, and it shows, it looks like, that might continue to happen, which would be great. Anyway, we'll talk more about Phil Harris and Alice Faye and Elliot Lewis as the season progresses. I hope you enjoy this fantastic episode of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. And I hope you continue to tune into all of our podcasts and that you're enjoying all of them as much as I enjoy bringing them to you. And we will see you guys next time.
The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Today is quite an important day in the lives of Phil and Alice. They are about to sign a contract with a new sponsor. Right now, they're in the office of Mr. Phillips of the RCA Victor Company, discussing terms.
And I know, Mr. Harris, that you people will be very happy working for RCA.
Well, I'm sure we will. I don't know of a finer sponsor or a better product. And I assure you, sir, that from now on, Alice and I will trade in no other drugstore but an RCA.
Phil, that was last year. This is RCA.
Oh, of course, yes, RCA. And a finer outfit never existed. Splendid work you people did during the war. Why, it's a known fact that England would have been invaded if it hadn't have been for the brave men of the RCA.
That is RAF. For the last time, our company is the Radio Corporation of America. Now, let's get back to discussing the contract.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, look, about the money, Mr. Phillips. My salary is $5,000 a week. Shall we settle for that, or do you want to bargain a little?
Let's bargain. I'll tell you what. You come down a little, and I'll come down a little. You make an offer, and I'll make an offer.
Oh, that's dandy. Now, I'm worth $5,000, but I'm willing to take a little less, so I'll cut it in half, $2,500.
Well, if you're nice enough to cut it in half, I'll do the same thing. I'll give you $1,250.
You expect me to work for that kind of dough? I'm a big man. I don't...
Down, Wonga. Mr. Phillips will accept your offer.
Ah, good. I'll have the contracts drawn up and send them over for you to sign tomorrow. Oh, by the way, when you get the contract, there'll be one additional clause that we haven't discussed, but it won't affect you.
What clause?
The morals clause. In this case, known as the No Remley Clause. Hereafter referred to as the We Don't Want No Part of Remley Dead or Alive Amendment.
Mr. Phillips, you mean this contract says that Remley will be out of the show? But why?
Because I'm not a well man. And I can't take a chance with him. Well, you know what happened to the last two sponsors who hired Remley?
No, what?
Their visiting hours are between 3 and 5.
Well, they were just super sensitive. They don't know the secret to getting along with Remley. He's been with me constantly for 18 years, and he doesn't bother me at all.
18 years? How can you stand having him around you all the time?
I take shots. Look, Mr. Phillips, we can't sign a contract that doesn't include Frankie.
I'm sorry, we want you very much, but we can't have Remley. You have until tomorrow morning to think it over.
All right, Mr. Phillips, we'll go home and discuss it and let you know.
Oh, Alice, I don't know what to do. I can't take a job without Frankie.
Oh, I know how you feel, Phil, but you haven't earned a penny in 4 months. And people are starting to talk. You know there's a rumor going around that you can't get a job?
Don't be silly. Who'd start a rumor like that?
Good morning, Philip, and how is my unemployed brother-in-law?
Oh, so you're the one, huh, Willie? Well, it might interest you to know that a guy offered me a job today.
Well, for goodness sakes, take it before the sucker comes to his senses tomorrow. You know, Philip, the neighbors are starting to talk. They think you're destitute and your children are suffering.
What do you mean, suffering? The way you talk, you'd think my kids were starving or something.
Hello, Daddy.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, hello, girls. I just... Wait a minute. What are you kids dressed up like that for? Phyllis, why are you wearing those rags?
It makes it easier for me to sell my apples.
What apples?
The ones I'm peddling outside the Brown Derby.
Well, what are you doing that for?
I'm trying to help you out, Daddy. Uncle Willie said you'd probably never get another job again.
Oh, no. And out in front of the Brown Derby. What'll I say to all of my friends? Baby Alice, don't tell me that you're selling apples, too.
Oh, no, Daddy.
Well, thank goodness.
I have a hot dog stand in front of NBC.
This is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to me. My poor little baby's selling apples and hot dogs on street corners. Baby Alice, you're not going back to that hot dog stand.
But, Daddy, it's a good business. I started at 9 o'clock this morning and I took in $28 already.
I don't care how much you took. $28? If she started at 6 tomorrow... and then got that breakfast trade, she might wind
Dale.
Up with... I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. I'm just... Things are in such a state. I'm just... Look, girls, you kids don't have to work. I've got a job. I'm signing the contract tomorrow.
You mean you're going to take it, Phil?
Of course I'm going to take it. I'm not going to let my kids work for me. I'm running this family, so you people listen to me. I don't want to sound like I'm preaching a sermon, but I've heard people say the early bird catches the worm, and there's a lot of good logic in that old cliche. There's certain obligations you just can't shirk. You've got to put that heat on to make the kettle perk. And if you want it to be a good day, you've got to do a good day's work. You got to dig, 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 dig for your dinner. Nothing's what you get for free. You got to dig, 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 dig for your dinner. Never was a money tree. And furthermore, my friends, I must repeat, nobody's living down on Easy Street. And if you want to owe for groceries, you're gonna get an awful lot of no-siries. You got to dig, 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 dig for a dollar. Tain't as simple as you think. You can't purloin a sirloin, or the butcher will put you in the clink. You just can't be a lazy bird. You've got to get off of your twig so you can afford your room and your board, and it's nice to have the price of a cig. You've got to pay the fiddler man if you want to do a jig. You got to be as busy as a bee to be a Mr. P.I.G. And if you want some dig, dig, dignity, you got to dig, 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 dig for your dinner, dig, 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 dig. You just can't be that lazy bird. You've got to get off of the twig so you can afford your room and your board, and it's nice to have the price of a cig. You've got to pay old fiddler man if you want to do a jig. You got to be as busy as a bee to be a Mr. B.I.G. And if you want some dig, dig, dignity, you got to dig, 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 dig for your dinner, dig, 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 dig. Right? Oh, honey, how am I going to break the news to Frankie? I'll never be able to look in his little bloodshot eyes again.
Oh, Phil, why worry about Frankie? You haven't seen him all summer. He hasn't been near you since there's no money coming in.
I know, honey, but there must... Uh-oh, there's the bell. I'll get it. It's still a tough thing to have to tell a guy. Hiya, Curly. Frankie! Hey, it's good to see you, kid.
Never mind that. You got my first week's check made out yet?
Checks, money, checks. Look, Frankie, I got a tough decision to make, and it's enough to drive me to drink.
You need a chauffeur?
Frankie, please.
I'm familiar with the road.
Look, Remley.
I could drive it blind.
You often do. Look, this is no time for jokes. I got a sponsor problem.
Curly, you ain't got no problem. That's what I came to see you about. I've been working on it all summer, and I got five sponsors lined up for you.
You got five sponsors lined up?
Sure. Every one of them's a fine, old, established firm.
Yeah? Who are they?
Well, one is Joe's Pool Room and Babysitting Service.
A shrewd merger.
Then there's the Santa Anita Winter Book and Hot Wire Service. They're dying to get you.
Look, Clyde.
Of course, the third one sounds best to me. It's a new big food outfit. They package imported delicacies.
Wow. That sounds better. What kind of stuff do they have?
Their biggest item is frozen camel food.
Frozen camel food?
And that's just one of their items. They also handle canned whale blubber. And they have an exclusive on marinated moose meat.
Oh? I imagine there's a big demand for that kind of stuff.
Well, not yet, but we'll create it. We'll circulate a rumor that the stuff is scarce and people will start hoarding it.
Oh, Remy, I don't think any of them will be a big seller.
Why not?
Well, most housewives put that stuff up themselves. I know my mother used to have a pantry full of marinated moose meat.
Well, maybe your mother did, but I don't think...
Shut up! Remley already got a sponsor. The only thing is... Well, look. They're willing to sign Alice and me, but... They don't want you.
They don't want me?
Sorry, Frankie.
Are you going to take it without me?
I have to, Frankie. I have a family. I got to think of them.
Why?
Well, I wish you wouldn't ask me such tough questions. Frankie, look, if you don't want me to, I won't take the job. Just say the word.
No. I don't want to stand in your way. You and Alice take it and go on to greater heights.
Oh, I can't do it, Remley. What'll happen to you? How'll you get along?
I'll just have to exist by chiseling a dime here, a nickel there. Bumming my meals wherever I can. When I want to smoke, I'll just pick a cigarette butt out of the gutter.
Oh. Well, as long as you don't have to change your way of living, okay. Right, I'll sign with RCA in the morning.
No, Curly, before you do, I got two sponsors left. One of them's a big manufacturer, and he's willing to pay you and Alice $5,000 a week each.
$5,000 each?
That's right. He has a big plant downtown, and he wants me to bring you and Alice down to see him.
Well, gee whiz, $5,000, huh?
Each.
Well, if it means a job for you, I guess it won't do any harm to talk to him. Okay, I'll get Alice. We'll go down and see your man, huh?
Hey, here's the address my friend gave me. Just follow me. Beautiful building, ain't it?
But why do we have to go through the cellar?
Well, that's what he told me to do. You know how these eccentric millionaires are.
Yeah. Shall I ring the bell?
No, no, don't touch the bell. Guy told me to knock. Excuse me.
Frankie, what is this Woody Woodpecker routine?
I don't know. That's what he told me to do.
Who's out there?
It's me, Frank Remley. I'm the guy you met at the bar last night.
Oh, yeah, of course. Just a minute. I'll open the door for you as soon as I slip the phone.
Door's open, Curly. Come on in.
Oh, let's wait till he lowers the drawbridge. Did you bring the meat for the sharks?
Don't stand out there yapping. Come on inside.
Why have you got all those bolts on the door?
Well, that's just a precaution. In my business, you got to be careful of prowlers.
Afraid of burglars, huh?
No, cops.
Cops! I've heard of that. Let's get out of here, will you? Come on.
Don't get excited. This is a legitimate business.
Of course. Well, Mr. Grogan, we came to see about the radio show you're going to sponsor. This is Phil Harris and Alice Faye. What do you think of
them? Well, I don't know. The babe looks all right, but the guy looks like a stool pigeon. Well, I'll take a chance. You two go on the air for my product, and I will pay you $5,000 a week each. Well, I'll make it $10,000.
That's $20,000 a week. That's a lot of money. I never heard of you. How do I know you can afford to pay us $20,000?
Are you kidding? I got a big factory. I got a product there's a demand for. Why, for years, I've been making nothing but money.
What do you manufacture?
Money.
Hey, that sounds great to me, Curly. I can hear the program now. The Counterfeit Hour, starring Phil Harris. Folks, have you tried our new product, the $3 bill? It comes in five attractive colors.
Cut! We ain't going on no air plug and no hot money.
I don't want you to plug it, stupid. All you gotta do is put on your show from a different city each week and no advertising.
Well, if you don't want no advertising, why are you gonna pay us $20,000 a week?
I need somebody to pass this stuff, don't I? What's the trouble with you actors? You ain't got no business heads.
Mr. Grogan, don't you realize what you're doing is against the law? What would your mother say if she knew you were printing money?
I don't know. I'll ask her. Hey, Mom, get off the press and come here a minute.
Oh, no. Let's get out of here.
Come on, Phil. Let's go home.
Get out of here.
Frankie, you ought to be ashamed of yourself taking us to a man like Grogan.
So I made one little mistake. But don't you worry, I got one more sponsor left. He's very legitimate, and he's coming over here at 3 o'clock.
Forget your sponsor. We're going on for RCA, and that's final.
But Alice...
In fact, I have my song ready for our first show. Do you want to hear it?
No.
Nobody asked you. I love the guy, though he grieves me and he leaves me high and dry. He breaks dates and I'm left alone. Then I say that he's on his own. But when he calls, I break my neck to get the phone. 'Cause I love the guy. I love the lad.
So in love with him she's moved.
Though his lies and alibis just drive me mad. We go out and he doesn't dress. I get angry, but I'll confess. He's mine and I don't really care if he's a mess. 'Cause I love the guy. I love the dope. I adore him, although for him there's no hope.
Other men may have better looks, make more money and read more books,
but only he could eat the things that this girl cooks. So I love the guy. I love that boy. When he kisses, then this miss is filled with joy. Famous men may admire me, millionaires may desire me, but I belong to him and he belongs to me.
Yes, I love the guy.
Oh, Alice, look, I've been thinking it over, and you know, I owe it to Frankie to talk to this guy who wants to sponsor
now,
us.
Now, please, Phil, don't do it. Don't even
Well, it
give
might
it a...
be a big deal in it, and we'd miss... Oh, there's the phone. I'll get it. Excuse me.
I'll go with you, Curly. That might be my sponsor.
Phil, if it is, tell him not to bother coming over. Oh, I hope he isn't talked into anything on account of Frankie.
Hi, Miss Fayette. Bring the groceries.
Oh, hello, Julius.
Hey, is alone, or is that curly-headed ball weevil still with you?
Julius, I don't want you to talk that way about Mr. Harris.
Why not?
Because he's my husband.
I refuse to acknowledge the union. You was roped into this thing.
That's beside the point. Oh, I mean... I'm all upset about Mr. Remley. He's bringing over one of his broken-down sponsors at 3 o'clock, and, well, I'm afraid Mr. Harris might sign with him, and I can't let that happen.
Alice, Alice, come here quick. I got great news for you.
I'll be right there. Excuse me, Julia.
Sure. Oh, that poor little girl. She ain't got no one to turn to but me. And it's my job to see that sponsor don't sign Mr. Harris. Let's see now. Yeah. All I gotta do is sully his reputation and make him look like a no-good rat. A simple assignment. If the sponsor thought I was Harris's juvenile delinquent son... Well, now that I set up the plot, I'll be back at 3 o'clock. This ought to take care of everything.
I've got great news for you. The most wonderful thing just happened, Alice. That was Mr. Phillips that just called. He reconsidered, and RCA is going to sign us with Frankie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, sure. Hey, Phillips said that he'd be here right sharp at 3 o'clock.
We won't be able to see him. That's when my sponsor's coming over.
Tell your sponsor to drop dead. We're signing with RCA at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, it was nice of you to change your mind and decide to hire Frankie, Mr. Phillips. What made you do it?
I like to live dangerously. I hope I don't have trouble with him.
Don't you worry about Remley, Mr. Phillips. He promised he'd keep his big fat mouth closed and his red nose out of your business. Didn't you, Franklin?
No.
Quiet. Now look, just give me the contract, Mr. Phillips, and I'll sign it. Ha! There you are, and spelt correct. Now you sign, Mr. Phillips.
Gladly. But before I do, I want you to know we feel very fortunate in obtaining the services of you and Mrs. Harris.
Yeah, yeah.
Our company has to be very careful about the type of person who represents our product.
I stand.
And you people certainly exemplify the typical happily married couple.
Yeah, we're perfect. Get your name down. Now, come on, here's the pen. Just sign the...
Daddy, come with me, quick.
Julius, let go of my arm. Who are you calling Daddy?
You, Pop, and you better come fast. Your stew is boiling over.
What still?
The one you made me build for you out of my erector set.
Oh, Julius, what are you talking about?
Mother, when did you get out of Tehachapi?
Mrs. Harris was in Tehachapi.
It wasn't her fault. Pop framed her.
He framed her?
He had to. She threatened to tell the cops how he made pickpockets out of my two little sisters.
Pickpockets? All they did was peddle hot dogs and apples.
Mr. Harris, I think you have a little explaining to do.
Look, my kids ain't pickpockets. Frankie, tell him my girls ain't pickpockets.
They never heisted nothing from me. Of course, I don't let myself fall asleep when they're around.
Frankie, will you please?
I had a bell put on my wallet.
Now, cut that out. Gosh, Mr. Phillips, will you listen to me? This Julius, this kid ain't my son.
Oh, Daddy, how could you?
Are you really his son?
Can't you tell? Look at us side by side. Can't you see how much we look alike?
No, I hadn't noticed. Say, there is a remarkable resemblance. Same sloping forehead, same close-set eyes, same receding.
Wait a minute, chin. Mr. Phillips, just a minute. You can't come in here and tell me that I look like that little mongoose. I'm liable to take you and
please,
twist your
own... Please, control yourself, control yourself. Don't kill this sponsor, too.
Who?
If you knock this one off, you'll get the chair.
If I look like you, I deserve the chair. Julius, you little traitor, I don't know what you're trying to do, but I'm going to break every bone in your body.
I've heard enough. Harris, I'm sorry, but I can't afford to have a man with your violent temper in our radio show. Good day.
I better go with you.
But look, Mr. Phillips, I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was saying. I apologize.
Well, there goes our sponsor.
Yeah, thanks to that, Julius, we're out of a job. Hey, that must be Mr. Phillips coming back. Come in.
Howdy, everybody. Howdy do there. My name's Milligan.
Hey, this is the sponsor I've been expecting.
Hiya, Frankie. Ah, this must be the crew cute trick here you've been telling me about.
That's right. Just call me Curly.
I'm talking to the dame. Hey, Blondie, you're just what I'm looking for. Now, if you and your straight man will sign here, I'll pay you $1,500 a week.
$1,500? Hey, we'll be glad to. We were just getting... Hey, wait a minute. What's your product? What do I have to sell, hot furs or sawed-off shotguns?
I don't be crude. You'll be selling milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate? Hey, that's a wonderful product.
Right.
Okay, give me the pen and I'll sign for Alice and me.
Oh, Phil, I don't think we ought to rush into this.
Now, you won't regret this, Miss Faye. Your first show is Monday night and you're going to get top billing.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It is wonderful. Now, can't you just see the billboards all over town? A Burbank Burlesque presents Boo Boo Faye.
Boo Boo?
The queen of the runway.
Burlesque, you told me we were selling milk chocolate.
You are. After Boo Boo does her specialty, you walk up and down the aisles yelling, get your sweet California milk chocolate.
A pretty girl is like a melody.
Now stop it. Stop it, I tell you, we ain't doing no burlesque. Emily, one of these days I'm going to kill you.
You will do it.
This is Phil again. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, and all of you nice kids out there for listening to our first program. And Alice and I and our whole gang feel happy to be back starting this new season, and we sincerely hope that you'll be with us each and every Sunday at the same time. And by the way, this coming week is a really big week on NBC. Bob Hope returns to his new season this Tuesday. And on Wednesday, Groucho Marx brings his show, You Bet Your Life, to NBC. And on Friday, The Life of Riley returns, starring William Bendix as Riley. Watch for them all. Good night, and thanks again for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, only freedom and truth can inspire the subjugated peoples of Europe with hope and determination. Recognizing this, the Crusade for Freedom has been endorsed by the White House and the State Department. Its purpose? To show the world just what America stands for and to bring support to the private radio station known as Radio Free Europe. To join the Crusade, it's necessary only to sign the Pledge of Freedom in your hometown. Let your name become a symbol of freedom. Help fight lies by giving to the Crusade for Freedom. This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Dick Lane, Sheldon Leonard, and Joseph Kern. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. And remember, three chimes mean good times on...
Stay tuned for Groucho Comes Aboard on NBC.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to the new season of the Jack Benny Show from 65 years ago, from the 1945-46 season. If you listened right before this, I played the episode where Dennis Day heads off to war, in World War II, and he was gone for about 2 years off the show. And this is the last part, this first part of this year is where Larry Stevens is still taking over for him. And Dennis will be back at some point this season, and that will be fun when he comes back. But I wanted to play this season because they're introducing a lot of concepts that will stay with the show for until the end. So, for instance, the Colemans will come on for the first time this season. Today's episode is special because B. Bernadette comes on for the first time as Gertrude and Gertrude of Mabel, the operators, make their first appearance on the show, and they'll keep appearing on it all the way until the last season, I believe, of the show. Polly, the parrot, makes her first appearance this season, played by Mel Blanc. New item added after new item added throughout the season, new people. And so I think you'll really enjoy this season. It is also the final season where Phil Harris and Dennis Day and Mel Blanc for that matter, are totally focused on the Jack Benny Show. After this season, all three of them get their own shows in 1946. And so they're kind of tugged back and forth between the shows. I don't really notice it on Dennis. His character, everything, always seems to be fully involved. But Phil starts pulling back more and more, it seems like. And, of course, we'll cover that later, but he has less and less time on the show, too. So I really enjoy this season for a number of reasons. I hope you're going to really get a lot out of this season, too. And... we will see you next time for today. One thing about today's show, I forgot. It's a couple things. It's just kind of funny because you'll hear Mary laugh at some of the things going on the show before her character ever comes on, which is kind of interesting. It's a fun episode. There's just a lot going on that makes it fun. I love Dawn's part, and Phil's part is great in this one. And anyway, enjoy the show.
The Jack Benny Program. Quality of product is essential to continuing success. LSMFT. LSMFT. L-S-M-F-T.
Sure thing.
That's right.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
Sold American.
Independent tobacco experts know who buys what tobacco. Mr. Ed L. Isaacs, independent tobacco expert and warehouseman of Lebanon, Kentucky, said,
I smoke Lucky's for the same reason that so many other tobacco men smoke them. Simply because I have seen Lucky's buy fine tobacco. And I've smoked Lucky's for 13 years.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
National Broadcasting Company.
SA operator, can you tell me what's on the air at 4 o'clock today?
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny.
Who?
Jack Benny. Gee, Mabel, that's the 6-1 today. Well, I'm still ahead. I've got 8. Oh, you're always lucky. You won last year, too. Yeah, Mr. Benny ought to know better than open his program during the hunting season. Yeah. National Broadcasting Company.
Say, operator, can you tell me what's on the air at 4 o'clock today?
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny.
Who?
Jack Benny. Hey, Mabel. What? This one must have used a knife. Yeah, I'll be glad when today is over so I can go home and take off this black dress. Yeah. And it's so hard to talk through this veil. Yeah. Hey, Mabel, look at the switchboard. Jack Benny's dressing room is cooling. Shall I take it, Gertrude, or do you want to get it? What's the difference? He's not going to kill himself anyway. Yeah, them that should won't. Yes, sir?
Operator, this is Jack Benny. Operator, with a change of time today, I'd like to check my watch. What time is it, please?
It's 20 minutes to 3.
20 minutes to 3? That's funny. I've got 20 minutes to 4.
Well, hold on. Mabel, what time have you got? 20 minutes to 5. Minutes to 3. No, no, Gertrude. You moved your watch back an hour and you're supposed to move it ahead. Gee, are you dumb? I'm not as dumb as Mr. Benny. He didn't move it at all.
Operator, I heard that and I'm going to report you.
That Gertrude thinks she's smart. What a telephone operator. She's a lousy dancer, too. Well, I better hurry and get ready. After all, it's 20 minutes to something. Call Rochester's fault. I told him to time change at 2 o'clock in the morning to set all the clocks in the house and my watch, too. Anyway, I better get ready. I wish NBC would give me a better dressing room. This tile floor is so cold on my bare feet. Now, let's see. Where did I put my... Oh, so you finally got here.
Hello, boss!
Rochester, you know this is my first program. I'm nervous and excited. Why do you have to be late?
Late? I got 20 minutes to 2.
Well, no wonder our watches are all mixed up, and it's your fault.
My fault?
Yeah, what were you supposed to do at 2 o'clock this morning?
At 2 o'clock this morning? Oh, I did that, boss.
You did what?
I tiptoed into your room and put a hot water bottle on your feet.
Is that all you did?
Well, I must confess, boss, I tickled your toes a little.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah, and when I saw the way you had your arms around that pillow, I figured you were expecting something.
Rochester, I always sleep with my arms around the pillow.
I know, but last night you looked at it and said, don't you think two can live as cheap as one?
I said that to the pillow?
Yeah, then I waited 3 minutes, and when it didn't answer, I walked out.
No, darn, I do the silliest things in my sleep. Imagine talking to a pillow. Rochester, why didn't you wake me up?
I hated to cut in, boss. You were dancing.
Well, I just had one of those nightmares. I'm always nervous before an opening broadcast. Gee, I hope the rest of the gang is here. By the way, Rochester, you call Mr. Harris like I told you to?
Yes, boss, but they said he hasn't been home for 2 weeks, and they gave me this number.
Okay, I'll call it. Probably Phil's office. I bet he's been knocking himself out for the last 2 weeks making special musical arrangements.
Joe's pool room.
Joe's pool room?
Snooker games arranged for schnooks.
What?
Radar cuspidors you can't miss.
Look, will you please let me talk to Phil Harris?
I don't know nobody here by that name. What does he do?
He's an orchestra leader. It says in his contract.
Oh, him.
Yes, him. Tell him his boss wants to talk to him.
Okay. Hey, Goldilocks, Kay Kaiser's on the phone.
Kay Kaiser?
How do you like that? And right in the middle of a game. Hold everything. Hello, Casey.
Phil, this is Jack C.
Who?
Jack Benny.
Oh, hiya, Jackson. What's up?
What's up? We go on the air in 15 minutes. You're in a pool room. Why aren't you here at the studio?
I can't be in two places at the same time.
Of course not.
If I could, I'd be at the racetrack, too.
That shows how you attend to business. Hanging around pool hall, you should be rehearsing your orchestra. Now, Phil, you better have a good band number for our opening program.
Don't worry about the music, Bub. I got a brand new tune I'm going to play called That's What I Like About the North.
The North?
Yeah, 5,000 arrangers in the country, and I had to hire a Yankee.
Well, I'm glad you got something new. Now, Phil, you know how nervous I am, so get over here, will you?
Sure, Jackson. I'll be over as soon as I finish this game.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay, Mom, it's your shot.
Rochester, I gotta go across the stage to Miss Livingston's dressing room. I'll see you later. Da-da-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum, da-deem, da-dee-da-da-dum, da-dum. Oh, hello, Gildersleeve.
Hello, Jack. Come on, Leroy.
Da-dum, da-dee-da-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum. I'm that Leroy. I bet he's Gildersleeve's father. Da-da-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum, da-dum. Oh, hello, Larry.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, are you nervous, kid?
Oh, a little bit, but I'll be all right when I get into my song.
Sure you will. Oh, by the way, Larry, I forgot all about it. Congratulations. You got married, didn't you?
Yes, Mr. Benny, about 2 weeks ago.
Well, I hope you'll be very happy. Where did you meet the pillow? I mean, the girl. Where did you meet the girl?
Oh, her mother introduced us.
Oh, her mother?
Yeah, I wish she'd go home already.
I know. I know how you feel. Go ahead and rehearse your song, kid. Go ahead.
Till the end of time, long as stars are in the blue, long as there's a spring, a bird to sing, I'll go on loving you. Till the end of time, long as roses bloom in May, my love for you will grow deeper disappear. I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say,
I'm going down to Miss Livingston's dressing room. I'll see you right before the show. And congratulations again on your marriage.
Thanks.
You know, kid, I was kind of toying with the idea of myself, you know. Derry, do you find that two can live as cheaply as one?
They can if one of them's a pillow.
Rochester, what are you doing here?
I'm trying to find out what time it is.
Oh, well, see you later, Larry. Yum dum da dum dum ding da dum. I mean, ya da 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 dum da dum da dum dum dee da da dum.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
I'll talk to you any way I want.
You do, and I'll slap your face, you beast.
Slap my face, will you? The last woman to slap my face never tried it again.
Don't you threaten me. I'll have you arrested and thrown in jail for the rest of your life.
Go ahead, call a cop. You can't frighten me.
One more word out, you and I will.
Yeah, da 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 da. Da-da. See, that's a shame. That happens every time John sees his other wife. Oh, well. Let's see, which is Mary's dressing room? Oh, here it is. Oh, Mary! Mary, may I come in?
Just a minute, Jack. I'm not dressed yet. Pauline.
Yes, Miss Livingston.
Help me slip into my dress. Mr. Benny wants to come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes.
Is he going to be on your program again this year?
Pauline, it isn't my program. It's Mr. Benny's, and Mr. Benny is a star. I just work for him, and he pays me a very nice salary. Not as much as I pay you, but a very nice salary.
Well, if I were you, Miss Livingston, I'd quit.
Now, wait a minute, Pauline. You don't understand. As a matter of fact, when I first went to work for Mr. Benny, I was 19 years old. And he promised me a raise just as soon as I reached my 28th birthday.
Your 28th birthday? Gee, did you remind him of it?
No, the raise wasn't worth admitting it.
Larry, I'm waiting.
Just a minute, Jack. Pauline, how does my dress look?
It looks all right, Miss Livingston, but if I were you, I'd wear it a little shorter. You have such pretty legs.
Oh, thanks, Pauline.
It's too bad you only have two of them.
What?
Well, what I mean is, when you've got something so nice, it's too bad you can't have more of it.
Well, believe me, Pauline, any girl who has nice legs is perfectly satisfied with just two of them. After all, who'd look at a girl with three legs?
Everybody.
Pauline, hand me my makeup kit.
Here you are.
Thanks. Oh, look at that. I must have forgotten my cold cream, my nail polish, and my eyeshadow. I wanted to look so nice for our first show.
Mary!
All right, all right. You can come in now. Hello.
Hello, Mary. Well, I'm all ready for the show.
Gee, you look nice.
Thanks. Here's your cold cream, your nail polish, and your eyeshadow.
The next time you want to borrow those things, ask for them.
I didn't borrow them. When we changed dressing rooms, you forgot them. Anyway, we better get on the stage. It's 4:08.
I've got 8 minutes to three.
Well, you must be wrong. Now, come on, I'm nervous anyway. See, look, Mary, they got the stage set up pretty nice, haven't they?
Yeah.
I wonder if this microphone is working. Look how low they've got it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Woof, woof. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jack, you're talking into the doorknob.
Oh, yeah. Gee, I'm so nervous. I always am on the first show.
Oh, the first show has nothing to do with it. You're always nervous.
I am not.
Look what happened last week when you read in the Pasadena paper the world was coming to an end.
That didn't bother me at all.
Then why were you wearing that asbestos suit?
Mary.
And walking around with that harp under your arm.
I wasn't taking any chances, sister. Now, don't embarrass me in front of the orchestra, will you?
All right, everybody, move over. Move over. Clear the stage. Come on, come on.
What?
You too, Benny. Step aside, step aside.
Yes, sir.
Somebody grab those chairs.
I'll do it. I never saw him here before. Who is that, Mary?
Oh, he sweeps up around here.
Oh. Well, why is he wearing those striped pants and that silk hat?
Maybe he's going to call on MacArthur.
Him? But his eyes don't.
Oh, forget it, Jack.
Imagine sweeping up now 6 minutes before the show.
Yeah, there'd be a lot more to sweep up after the show.
Certainly sharp today, kiddo. Oh, look, there's John Wilson over there rehearsing by himself.
Yeah.
The Lucky Strike program starring Don Wilson with Mary Livingston, Jack... Say, the Lucky Strike program starring Don Wilson... Oh, no, I'd never get away with it.
What are you doing, Don?
Hi, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Don, what were you doing?
Oh, I was just rehearsing the Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
That's swell, Don, but you shouldn't throw your name away like that. You know, give yourself a build-up there.
Well, to tell you the truth, I just never thought about it, Jack.
Oh.
After all, you're the boss, the star.
Yes, of course.
Hey, Benny, I thought I told you to move aside.
Oh, pardon me. Let's stand over here, Don. Well, I'll bet you're raring to go with those commercials, eh, Don?
Ah, you bet I am, Jack. I just can't wait until it's time for me to say LSMF, LSMF...
T, Doug.
Oh, yes. LSMFT. See, Jack, we've been off the air 17 weeks, and I guess I forgot.
Well, that's all right. Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
LSMFT. Yes, sir. You bet.
Don, what happened?
Lucky Strike means, Don, what happened?
No. Don, what's the matter with you? We're doing our show in 6 minutes. Try it again.
LSMFT. Lucky Strike means...
Fine tobacco.
So round, so firm, so... So...
Fully baked.
No, Jack, it's fully picked.
No, it is not.
It's fully packed! Fully packed!
That's it, Don, that's it.
Who's that fellow?
Oh, he sweeps up around here. Take it again, Don.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, so round, so firm, so full of pack, so free and easy on the,
Draw!
You draw first. I got you covered, partner.
Who's that?
Some guy who's suing the Lone Ranger.
Oh, yes. I wish they'd stay in their own studios.
So free and easy on the draw. I've got it now, Jack.
Good, but you better rehearse it again. You had me worried there for a minute.
Okay, you can relax, Jackson. The stuff is here.
All right, Phil, listen. We've only got 5 minutes. Now, you better go over your band number right now.
Okay, are you all set, fellas?
Yeah!
All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, roof, doot, 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 doot. Hit it!
Phil!
What's wrong with you, Jackson?
Wrong with you? You're playing Wayne King's theme song. He was our summer replacement.
Well, why didn't he take the music off the stand?
your boys ought to know better than to play anything they see in front of them.
That's the most asinine thing I ever heard.
Who's that?
He sweeps up around. Now, go ahead, Phil. Rehearse your own number, will you?
Okay.
Okay. That's enough. We're on the air in 3 minutes. They haven't let the audience in yet. Hey, where's our producer? Hey, Ballin, Ballin.
What is it, Jack?
Look, if we go on the air in 3 minutes, the audience isn't in yet.
Well, Jack, you've got the wrong time. It's only 3 minutes to 3.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I'm the producer. That's my job.
Oh, well, I'm glad we got that settled. Anyway, if we have an hour, I'm going back to my dressing room. See you later, kids.
Yum-dum-da-dum. Dum-dum-dum. I wonder if two could live as cheaply as...
Nah, I don't think so.
Ya-da-da-dum-da-dee-da-dum-da-dum-da-dee-dum. But maybe if one of them doesn't eat so much, the two...
Nah, it wouldn't work. Da-dum-dum-dee-da-dum-da-dee-da-dum.
Ross, what are you doing back here?
I have the wrong time. We've got an hour yet.
Oh!
You know, Rochester, I'm really going to have to be on my toes this year. There's a great lineup of shows on Sunday. There's Gildersleeve and Following Us as Cass Daly. Then Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
You know, boss, Fred Allen's going to be with Edgar Bergen today.
Fred Allen? Is going to be with Bergen?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Is Charlie McCarthy sick?
Sunday, he starts his own program.
Alan, his own pro? How do you like that? Alan coming back on the air. You know, Rochester, it isn't that I dislike that stinker personally, but... I can't understand why people laugh at his kind of joke.
Me either, boss.
It's a mystery to me why a sponsor would give him a job.
It's hard to understand, ain't it?
Certainly is. I can't figure out why he's such a big success. Can you, Rochester?
No, sir. But then, boss, maybe it's just that our vines have sour grapes.
No. That's not the case with me. I always give credit where I can... Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
My name is Bradley, Steve Bradley. I'm a press agent, and I'm just what the doctor ordered for you.
What?
I'm going to make people know you.
Know me? What are you talking about? I'm on the radio. Everybody knows me.
That's just it. They know you on Sundays, but what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
What?
People should be Jack Benny conscious all the time, not just on Sundays. Why, what would happen if the smiling Irishman smiled only on Mondays and was a sourpuss the rest of the week?
Well...
And what a dull gal Porter would be if she only faced life on Friday.
Yes, that's all very true.
But... I know what's on your mind, Benny. You're wondering if I, Jack, and Steve Bradley, am the man to do your publicity.
Well, you don't have to be nervous.
Now, let me tell you something, Benny. I'm the fellow who made Madman Munch lose his temper. I'm the guy who cut Minute Rub down to 30 seconds. And I'm the man who made B.O. what it is today.
Gosh, you have done a lot of high-class work, but I don't think you can do anything for me.
Why, of course I can. What has B.O. got that you haven't got?
Well,
I'll make the world Benny conscious. I'll have your name on the lips of everybody in America. I'll do as much for you as I did for Sammy Klingenpeel.
Klingenpeel, that name is very familiar, but
I... Yeah, darn right it's familiar, and only because I made the world Klingenpeel conscious.
I know, but...
Why, 2 years ago, Sammy Klingenpeel was just another orchestra leader, but then I got a great idea. I said, look, Sammy, lots of people have gone over Niagara Falls in a barrel, but you're going over Niagara Falls in a barrel filled with wet cement.
Yes, I remember. Wait a minute. He got killed doing it, didn't he?
Sure, but look at the publicity he got. Gosh, I'll never forget the newspaper space I got on his funeral. 40,000 people attended, and we never even found the body.
That's wonderful, but really, Mr. Bradley, I don't think I need...
Now, look, Benny, you hire me, and I'll make you famous in every part of the world. In the big cities, in the little towns like Schenectady, Joliet, Salinas, Amarillo, Waukegan, South Bend, Kenosha...
Wait a minute. Everybody in Waukegan knows me.
Well, how do you like that? I'm with you 3 minutes, and you're a celebrity already. Hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe.
Well, look, Mr. Bradley, I've never had a publicity man, so I'll have to think it over. Can I see you after the show?
Why, certainly. You think it over, and in the meantime, I'll go out and order the barrel and the cement.
The what?
See you later.
Dynamic personality. Maybe he's the kind of a guy I need. How did he impress you, Rochester?
I don't know, but I turned gray and he wasn't even talking to me.
Well, I think he's got something. I'm going to talk to him right after the broadcast. Gee, it's 3 o'clock by my watch. Turn on the radio, Rochester. Let's see what's on.
Okay.
And that concludes our regular Sunday program of popular recordings. The time is now exactly 5:05 Pacific Standard Time.
Can you imagine that? 5:05. The guy's all mixed up, too. Get another station, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Oh, careful, Bergen. You've got a frog in our throat.
Yes, so we have. But tell me, Charlie, do you like it here in New York?
Oh, yes, Bergen, I like it. It's fall, but the little flower is always out.
You know, Rochester... You know, Rochester, that Charlie McCarthy is... Charlie McCarthy? Rochester, it's after 5. I missed my program.
You sure have, boy.
Oh, my goodness. Mary, Bill, where's my producer? Hey, Ballin. This is awful. What do my sponsors say?
Maybe he likes it.
Rochester, stop joking. You think that one person in this company would know what time it is? What am I going to do now? Ladies and gentlemen, having just completed a USO tour through Germany, I feel I'm in a position to tell you how much the boys overseas want and need entertainment. Even though the war is won and thousands of our boys are being brought home and discharged, thousands more will have to remain as occupation troops. The USO has done and is still doing a wonderful job of supplying that entertainment, but it is up to us to provide the funds so they can carry on this great work. So please, ladies and gentlemen, when you are asked to contribute to the Victory Chest in your community, do it generously. Thank you.
National Broadcasting Company. No, there's nothing wrong with your radio. Jack Benny wasn't on. You're welcome. Say, Mabel, I know what you're thinking, Gertrude.
Yeah.
All those people kill themselves for nothing.